Welcome to your brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast, where three friends decide to run away from home. As always, I am your magic extraordinaire, Zach, and joined with me is the Rainbow Care Bear,
Zach,
and the dinosaur from time itself,
Steven.
And welcome, guys. How's it going?
Are you talking to us?
That's a fantastic start.
Zach had a stroke.
Just a mild one there.
To be fair, we all did just get back from a Japanese buffet, and we're so all
much,
really full.
So much sushi.
It was so good. Oh, God. I'm, like, stressing out by the fact that I didn't count my calories.
You said you felt so happy.
It stresses me out now. The more I think about it.
You'll be okay one day.
It's true. Speaking of being okay, it has been confirmed officially as of today that Mark Strong has taken the role of Dr. Savannah for the Shazam movie, coming out in 2019.
Huh.
It's a quick turnaround considering that movie was kind of in limbo for a bit.
Yeah. A lot of the DC movies other than like Aquaman have been in limbo.
Yeah. Aquaman's coming out. Wonder Woman 2 is coming out. Those have official dates. Green Lantern Corps is in limbo.
Superman might be a thing. We're still not sure.
Suicide Squad 2?
I don't think DC is sure about anything right now with their movies.
Well they just hired like, someone else to take on the direction. Like, so.
We'll put Aquaman on, just kind of test the waters.
The producer for It and the Insidious films has now become the head of like the DC cinematic universe, which is really interesting because considering how like Insidious has its own cinematic universe now, along with like, was it The Conjuring has one with the Annabelle universe?
Yeah, Conjuring / Annabelle cinematic universe.
The Nun, The Nurse.
The Kaku, if you will.
Yeah.
Conjuring Annabelle cinematic universe. The Kaku.
I mean, the Dooku failed.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Guillermo del Toro is just like, I did it! Fuck you guys!
Wait, no. It has to be the Annabelle Conjuring cinematic universe, so it could be the Aku.
The Aku!
Where does the Nun come along? Because that's the next movie. Or is it the Nurse? Sorry, I'm the only one that pays attention to horror movies.
The Naku?
But going back to Mark Strong, I think he'd be freaking fantastic as Savannah. I love
Mark
him.
Mark Strong's great.
Yeah, I really come to enjoy him in a Kingsman. So seeing him kind of take that same character idea but put it in a more villainous role will be really interesting. So yeah, I mean, sounds really
cool. He can pull off a menacing villain.
Yeah.
Just everyone, hopefully they give him
because more. In the original Kingsman comic, Merlin was actually the mole and he betrayed the team.
Yeah.
Fun fact. Spoilers. Mark Hamill dies.
Yep.
In the original Kingsman comic, like issue one.
And in the movie, he also dies.
Yes, but he wasn't Mark Hamill.
No, he was...
He was a professor who sounded a lot like the Joker.
Yeah.
When Mark Hamill does a British accent, he just sounds like the Joker.
Yeah, it was like watching Last Jedi. I'm like, oh, that's Firelord Ozai right now. So did you guys actually watch any of the DC live stream from this past weekend?
No. What was even going on this weekend?
It was DC and DC was what the event was called.
Huh.
So, like, Jeff Johns, Jim Lee, Tom King, and a few people from, like, the TV show properties, like Berlanti and whatnot, all came out to just kind of, like, rep their shows in front of, like, a live audience and talk about what they're doing. And it was really cool because they showed the premiere of Black Lightning last night at a theater.
Which people are hailing as one pretty much the best CW Arrowverse show.
It's like, if you give people representation, they really like
it. It's like Black Panther is the highest pre-sale.
The number one pre-sale movie for Marvel ever. I think the number one pre-sale movie ever
was the original Avengers.
General. No,
I thought you were talking about the MCU.
Yeah, Black Panther even more than went Star over Wars? The Avengers.
No, that's what I'm saying. The previous one would have been the OG Avengers film, I think.
Do not put that on the fucking bottle. Also, take up your trash next time.
Sorry. We have a Snapple bottle just chilling like a villain.
It's been there for like a week, maybe longer.
Probably like a week.
I think 2 weeks.
No.
That Snapple bottle hasn't left for...
It's fine. So it was really cool watching the DC and DC thing because they did like a massive Q&A about like setting up the Arrow universe and how that came to be. It was Jeff Johns, Kim, the director, one of the producers for Black Lightning.
Selena Kyle?
Yes. Sorry. No, not Selena Kyle. God damn it, Steve. Like,
that one was too easy.
Hate you.
Like, is he gonna fall for that?
No. I don't feel good about that one. That one was too easy. You didn't even think about it. You just went right with it.
I know.
Because Selena the guy's Kyle's name though. Is Selena Kyle.
Selene McKyle?
Selene, S-A-L-I-M-A-K-I-L.
Oh.
So I thought you were being totally serious. Tony Isabella was there. I got
close without even knowing it.
Brandon Routh, Katie Lotz are all there. Berlanti was there. And they were just kind of talking about how hard it was in the beginning to get people to take the CW show so seriously. It's like, yeah, when we sat there, it was like someone back in the 90s when they were talking about the original Flash TV show, they were like, does he have to wear the red outfit? What about like gray sweatpants and a hoodie? And they're like, no, please no.
So the Sunday Night Football and NBC Facebook, they're PR people. Primo right now. They did AFC title game roll call and they did the substitute teacher with Balake.
Okay.
Balake Bortles.
So one of the other big things that got announced in the DC and DC thing was Tom King announces Sanctuary, which is about about DC superheroes dealing with the mental trauma of violence. So it reminds me of an old title. It's In Treatment. Have you guys ever read that?
No.
So it was like a bunch of superhero-esque characters just sitting down and actually like venting and talking about their problems dealing with all their crime and everything. And at this point, I'm sitting here looking at Tom King. I'm like, man, one day he's going to write something really happy and not depressing.
Yeah, it's like even this last issue of Mr. Miracles is like, God, that's brutal. But I fucking love it still.
Yeah, and it's a really cool thing because it's like, what characters are going to be in here? Like, I imagine almost as like a series of one-shots with these characters. And it,
yeah, did they say if it was a limited or not?
I don't know. But I'm sitting here just thinking.
It's more Tom King, so I'm going to get it.
Yeah.
DC-wide initiative.
One of the big things, so while you're looking that up, one of the things that Tom King said in his thing is that everyone gets scared, but all that really means is everyone gets an opportunity to fight that fear. Everyone gets a chance to be brave. And then that's kind of him pitching one of the examples of his Batman into the series, was that this is a character who's scared, but it's him rising up above that. And I think it's going to translate over to his series Sanctuary. And he kind of like teased it in Instagram, where he posted a picture of Booster Gold and Harley Quinn and just said # secret project. Look, man, I'm getting all I need from Booster.
If it's going to be like a specific series, it might just be like, it sounds like it's going to be like, not like the stupid after credits thing, but just kind of like hit, like shown in like here and there throughout series.
Interesting.
Like, it doesn't say that it's going to be a specific series. It just says it's a DC universe wide initiative. And
I wonder if
Sanctuary itself doesn't sound like the title of a new book, but rather a new initiative or project that will either be discovered or constructed potentially by the Trinity throughout the shared universe.
Okay.
Hmm.
And I wonder if it's going to be like,
sounds intriguing.
Kind of like how Young Justice did those few episodes of where Superboy would go to Black Canary and sit down and just talk through his feelings with her.
They all did
in the next episode. Superboy consistently wants to go talk to her. So I wonder if it's going to be like along those lines of like, yo, man, I'm fucked up. Please help me. First client, Jason Todd. Hi, Jason. I died and came back.
So, Jason, tell us about your issues. Well,
I really like murder, but I won't do it because Batman said no.
Yeah. But I do things my own way, but also kind of the Batman way.
Yeah, so he says, we're creating a place superheroes can go that mimics the good work people are doing for veterans around the world, where they have a space where they can actually admit that this violence has consequences for them and has affected them mentally, so that your greatest heroes who are inspiring our children can say proudly, yes, I've had some mental difficulties, and yes, working with people has helped me through them, and we don't need to hide behind that. So like you said, it hasn't been announced whether this is like a series or if it's going to be some sort of project. It might even be one of those prestige series that they've been talking about where they're releasing the title in full as a graphic novel.
Maybe.
Yeah. But everyone's sitting there. It's like, all right. So characters that need to go there. Jason Todd, Tim Drake, Martian Manhunter, Bruce Connor Wayne. Kent, Bruce Wayne, Victor Freeze.
So anyone in Gotham.
Oliver Queen at this point.
Booster Gold. Please bring Booster. My best friend doesn't remember me, and I can't talk to him. Oh, God, no. Why did I do this to myself? What the fuck? Who let me talk? No.
Just picture, Zach, the gravestone that is immune from all time.
If you hear or listen closely, you can hear Tom King suddenly get like an idea of like, I need to write a Booster story.
He already posted on Instagram a picture of Booster with Harley, imagining.
But no, if you listen really closely when Zach's talking, you can probably pinpoint the exact moment his heart breaks.
No.
Oh, God, no. There it is.
Not like this.
Because that was like a change. Like, yeah, talking about the story. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh no,
I don't want that.
Yeah. So I think it's really cool because, especially looking at Mr. Miracle as of late, how the entire series so far has been about trauma and Scott Free trying to figure out his place in the midst of all of it.
And it's like the whole idea of the master escape artist can't escape himself and his own thoughts. And the things that traumatize him.
Yeah, like it still broke my heart a little bit when Scott like hugs Barda and says, I love you. And she doesn't say I love you too. She's like, I know. And I'm like, oh, Barda.
The whole time we're still not sure. It's like, is this a fucking hallucination? We don't know.
But Darkseid is.
Darkseid is. Darkseid does do not. Darkseid is.
Someone on Twitter is like, at this point, I'm going to read anything by Tom King, including like his grocery list, milk, eggs, Darkseid is bread. I'm really interested in this series, especially. Like I said, at this point, Tom King's become one of those writers where I just pick up everything that he gets. Mm-hmm. And some other people are nicknaming the series so far PTSDC.
PTSDCU.
Cinematic Universe.
Oh, God.
Kyle after Omega Man needs
that variant for
Aquaman. Oh, yeah, Kyle. Oh, yeah.
Those are pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah, the Mara one.
Yeah. Variant for upcoming Aquaman.
Which
They've got the same variant.
I'm fucking wondering, like, how are they going to. How is Dan Abnett going to spin this whole. Mara's been like, she can't breathe. Just like, all right, what's going to happen now?
She's doomed to live on the surface forever.
Well, no, because they clearly are not going that route because of the whole Queen of Atlantis. I'm more of like, all right, are they going to explain that it was like, it's just magic that. Or something.
The water, Zach. Just like how Arthur couldn't breathe in the dead water from Abnett's previous run. Or Parker. No, it was Dan Abnett that did that. Abnett. Yeah. Jeff Parker did the his mama.
Yep. So anyway, sidetracked.
I'm so stupid. I didn't realize the Dragon Ball FighterZ beta was going on today.
You told me yesterday it was
happening. I know I did. I forgot. I need to download it.
Oh, Steve. All right. In other exciting news, speaking of cinematic universes... Hold yourselves. The Black Widow movie's finally happening.
Finally?
By a female screenwriter.
Yes, they finally... Marvel has finally hired a screenwriter. Jacques Schaffer? Is that how you say
her
name? Schaffer? No, that's probably Schaffer. I wanted to get really French with it. I'm pretty sure it's Schaffer.
Not so fast, Jafar.
Let's see. They're best known for a blacklist screenplay titled The Shower, which Anne Hathaway has optioned to produce / star in. So, okay, so that's another movie. Oh, no. They also wrote the Olaf Frozen Adventure short that everybody universally hates in front of the Pixar Coco.
Okay, but everyone universally hates it because it was a 20-minute short in front of Coco.
Like, you have to sit through 15 minutes of trailers and then a 20-minute short, which, how fucking dare you, Disney? How dare you give people more than what they paid for?
It's a little
the fucking
much.
Nerve.
Like, but when you go in expecting one thing, you don't want...
I could see if people were like, yeah, it took a little long, but people are like, this is the most disgusting thing ever. This is terrible. This is garbage. Like, I'm sorry that Disney went out of their way to give you 20 extra minutes of stuff. It's like, all this is going to do is make it like, eh, we're not going to do anything extra anymore, I guess. People don't like it.
It's true. People don't like things.
That's why we can't have nice things, people.
There's another article I linked to, like, why it took so long.
Because they didn't think a female-led superhero film won't
And then succeed. Wonder Woman came along.
Yeah, so... So apparently this movie... It was announced in 2004 that Iron Fist and Black Widow are actually supposed to be part of, like, the OG MCU mainstay films. But both films... went into developmental hell after the Punisher movies came out. Lionsgate almost did bring David Hayter to write and direct the film. And Hayter completed a screenplay that stuck to Natasha Romanoff's comic book origins. But in reality, what happened was they saw the Red Sparrow trailer and they were like, shit, someone else did it before us. I mean, Red Sparrow is...
It literally is.
It's Black Widow year one.
It's Black Widow, but isn't she French instead of Russian?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Red Sparrow.
Yeah.
See, it makes me wonder, though. It's like, one of the biggest mainstay things about Black Widow, in my opinion, is her relationship with Bucky. Mm-hmm. And if that doesn't get explored, but then if it does get explored, everyone's like, yeah, she just dates around the entire Avengers team.
I'm like, say, since they set up the Hulk... romance first. There's no way they can't have her go to another person and not have people be like, man, she's just kind of sleeping around. Why? Because she's a woman? She can't love more than one person?
She technically didn't sleep with anyone.
No.
Just flirted with everyone.
Well, we don't know what happened at the farm after the whole monster
scene. Probably nothing. It seemed like nothing happened.
It was a PG-13 movie,
Banner
Steve.
Kind of killed the mood.
Look, we know sex exists in the universe because Hawkeye has children.
So one of the reasons why this film never happened post-2004 was because Aeon Flux canned it entirely.
Yeah, Aeon Flux was
And then
not
they didn't
great.
Get the rights back until 2010. But then that's when they started using her and everything.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, let's put her in Iron Man 2. Just wait so she can be there. And then, like, everyone is kind of like... Come on, why
not? Have you not done this yet?
Everyone's asking for it.
It's probably for the same reason why it took us 20 films to get Black Panther. It's like, well, no one might not watch this movie.
And again, most pre-sold tickets in the first day in all of movie history.
Yeah.
If you make the movie for the people, they will go see it.
Yeah.
If you give them the diversity that they're asking for, people will go see it.
I think it's going to be great.
Yeah.
My one concern is the villain is literally a reverse Black Panther, but...
Dude, Killmonger? He's been around forever.
Yeah, but he literally has a fucking Black Panther suit.
Again, shout out to Spider-Man for having the Vulture around.
What I'm hoping they do is Killmonger is like half the movie and the other half is more Claw. Like, show...
Yeah, because they might be flipping reverse. It the other way. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter which half happens first, but...
Yeah.
Like, give him a couple villains in this. Don't just go for the one that no one's really ever heard of, and then the one that most people who know Black Panther know him as the villain. It's like, you showed him in the trailers, you showed him he has his claw. Don't make him, like, a one-off halfway through the movie. Just, like, beginning of the movie, stops claw, done with him. It's like, no... Do something different. See, you showed off this one villain, but hey, another villain shows up. Didn't see that coming, did you?
I really hope they just don't kill off their villain. Yeah. So it's like, look, let's bring him back.
Not all of the Marvel villains are dead.
Most of them are.
Obadiah Stane is dead. Loki is not dead.
The only one is Baron Von Zemo that...
Zemo didn't die.
Loki's not dead. Zemo's not dead.
Captain America and Iron Man aren't dead because they're the each other's. Look, it's such bullshit that Iron Man's worst enemy has been Captain America.
Mm-hmm. Or best enemy, rather.
Yeah. Or in that same vein. But it's like Yellow Jacket's dead. Vulture's alive because Spider-Man did it right. Because they eventually had to build up a Secret Six movie. So why not keep him around for seven films?
What else?
I don't know why I started with Ant-Man.
Red Skull died.
No.
He got eviscerated by the Tesseract.
Doesn't mean he's dead. He could be floating around.
His skin peeled off.
Doesn't mean he's dead. He could be floating around somewhere in the multiverse. Sure
dead. Ronan's dead.
There's a Ronan?
Yeah, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh, yeah, Ronan the Accuser. I'm imagining like Samurai Ronan.
No.
Ronan's dead. Who's the villain in 2? Oh, Ego the Living Planet's dead. The entire planet. Iron Man 2. What happened to Whiplash?
That's what I'm trying to look up of which villains are actually alive. Ultron may still be alive.
He isn't alive. He has to be alive. He's like, they're... If, like I said, I'm so curious what's going to happen after the fourth Avengers film when they're done with Thanos. Mm-hmm. It's like... Well, we got Fox's rights back. Galactus.
I mean, yeah, Yellowjacket's not dead. He's just subatomic.
You know what's kind of weird in general? For the most part, not... And this is going into, like, DC as well. Like, even their villains, they haven't done well in the movies.
Yeah, Superman. Totally.
Batman was right. Abomination is still alive. The leader's still alive. The Mandarin's still
alive. Who's the leader?
So they don't actually make it clear who's the leader, but... It's the person who helps Bruce Banner, like, test out his DNA at the
college, I don't even...
And then he injects a little into himself, and his head kind of starts growing. He becomes the leader.
Okay. I don't count the Incredible Hulk. I know it's MCU canon. I just don't count it.
Why?
I don't know.
The best Hulk movie of the two we've had.
Is that the one that he fought the poodle? Or is that the first one?
That was the first one.
Okay. Where he rips the car in half and turns it into boxing gloves?
That's the second one. Yeah. That's okay. Incredible Hulk. That's when he's fighting Abomination.
Okay.
The first one made by Ang Lee was just garbage. So of all the Hulk movies we've gotten, Incredible Hulk, number one.
Loki's still alive.
Justin Hammer is technically still alive.
He's the extremist villain, right?
He was the one in 2 who hired Whiplash.
Not Whiplash.
Not Tony Stark.
Who is he played by? It's on the tip of my tongue. He was in Moon. It's gonna bother me.
We got Mordo also.
Well, they set him up.
Dormammu
could still come back. He just made a deal to leave the planet at the time.
Anyways, writing good villains is hard to do in a 2-hour movie, I feel like. Justin Hammer was
played... Sam Rockwell.
Oh yeah, he is the guy in Moon. The only character in Moon, technically.
Aside from Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Anyways. What were we talking about? Black Widow.
Arnim Zola could still come back.
He better come back.
As the TV head.
Yeah. I mean, they did blow up his hard drives.
But you don't think that he had a secret hard drive off base that he went in, or a secret server?
Ethernet. He's just a USB-C.
VPN.
It's a USB stick, and they plug into any TV.
Okay, so Yellow Jacket...
He's the Samsung Curve TV.
Yellow Jacket did die. He didn't go subatomic, he just shrunk uncontrollably.
Yeah, I thought he
collapsed
up.
In on himself.
I don't know, dude. Why are we still talking about this? It makes me interested to see what the Black Widow villain would be. Like, would it be the government?
It could be the Red Room.
It could be the Red Room.
Like, the people behind it, because that was, in the Mark Waid run, at least of what I read, that was her going back to Russia mm-hmm. to figure out this new, essentially her, like, they pretty much made another Black Widow to replace her. So she's going down to figure out, like, the Red Room's still active.
See, I feel like there's so many routes they can go, and the one route I want them to do is, like, the canon Black Widow. Like, she's been around since the Cold War, like, permanently frozen in age, technically.
Like Bucky has been.
And that's why she and Bucky work so well. I really want her and Bucky. And then they have a kid, and it's going to be great. And wasn't Nadia Pym. I think Steve was the only one that reads Avengers. Wasn't Nadia part of the Red Room program too?
I don't read Avengers.
Okay.
I've only read Avengers for the...
The Unstoppable Wasp?
The crossover.
With Voyager, the original Avenger. She's on the last two pages, and everyone's like, oh, we always knew you would come back. Well, you know what they say. Once an Avenger, always an Avenger. And then it shows her standing in front of the OG Avenger statue that they totally retconned to have Voyager be there.
What a fucking rip. They stole that from Power Rangers. Once a Ranger, always a Ranger.
Yes, the famous saying from...
Look, there's
every they had Power a whole Ranger. Two-part crossover entitled Once a Ranger. No.
I'm talking about the Avengers thing. I'm okay with the Power Rangers thing. But it's like, they're going to be reading it, and then Steve's just going to read, may the power always be with you. And it's like, fucking Power Rangers rip off, rips his comic in half and burns it.
This is bullshit. But dude, Morphin Grid coming out in March? Ugh.
That's one of my favorite things. All these people getting upset and then burning comic books. Like, oh yeah, I bought all the issues to Spider-Man 791 in my store and I burned them all because I hate Dan Slott so much. Dude, you just like paid his bills this week.
It's like I hate him, so I'm going to burn them all. But you still supported him. Without...
I'm sending a message. He doesn't give a shit. Yes.
Like, I'm sending second printing.
He's like, wow, you sold all of them? Here's another stack. It's like, you want to buy these and burn them too?
Here's this magical thing that a lot of creators have, at least modern day creators, have just learned, is that they're not going to please everyone, and they're just going to listen to the people that either one
buy them and...
Yeah, either give them good criticism and feedback, or the people who actually care. The ones that are just yelling at them, of like, oh, you're fucking terrible, you suck, you should kill yourself. I'm like, they don't care. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it might get to bother them, but at the end of the day, it does not matter.
It's like, you know what that bothers them about? Humanity, not their comic book.
Yeah.
You know what else bothers people? Gore Verbinski just left the Gambit movie.
That movie is never going to happen.
It's never going to come out.
Channing Tatum wants it to happen, but...
He's just sitting there with a deck of cards like, someday.
My question is like...
He's trying to hit up Jonah Hill for 23 Jump Street.
It's like, hey, I get that he really wants it to happen, kind of like how Ryan Reynolds made Deadpool happen, but... Bro, I don't think enough people give a shit about Gambit.
Here's the thing.
Even though Gambit and Rogue apparently did very well.
That's the thing.
Channing Tatum, go get Anna Paquin.
Rebrand it, Gambit and Rogue, the movie. And it's like, you know, it's
someone with an actual Southern draw.
The Creoles.
It's, you know, Anna Paquin's Rogue beats up
I feel like we could find a better
Captain Rogue. Marvel takes all of her powers just like in the 90s X-Men. Captain Marvel goes away for a while and Rogue is now the champion, and she and Gambit have to figure out how to revive Carol from the powers that be. I don't know. But this movie's not going to... Like, I feel bad. I honestly feel bad that this movie's been stuck in
development. Well, especially with now with the whole Fox deal. Like, well, maybe if this Fox deal goes through with Disney, maybe there's better hope for it to happen then. Because then Channing Tatum could be like, hey, my movies are successful. Help me make this. And Disney's like, okay, sure, let's do it. Well, we have all these X-Men now.
I do want the Gambit movie to happen. It's been teased so much. I think Channing Tatum would be perfect as Gambit.
And he finally knows how to act now. Like Logan Lucky, grade A Channing Tatum.
Are you telling me his glorious acting skills in Step Up were not perfect?
Well, the fact that he was already a dancer, I mean, like... That's just Channing Tatum up there.
Or same Magic with all, Mike.
He was also a dancer in that one. You're just proving a point. Logan Lucky, he's a military vet that has a limp leg, and he does Ocean's 11, but with all of his redneck friends.
You're telling me he wasn't a good actor in 21 and 22 Jump Street?
That was just Channing Tatum. Same thing in...
It's Will Smith syndrome. You have actors playing themselves as the characters, like Anna Kendrick. She's just Anna Kendrick as Becca.
Have you seen The Accountant?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah, we saw that together, right?
No, we didn't.
Never mind. I'm sad.
You saw it and then kept telling us that was the greatest movie of the year.
Yeah, it was so great. Love it. But anyways, like, I wonder if there's even a script at this point. Like, if there's a script, who the hell is... Okay, so...
Sorry about that. The audio failed.
Yes. Are we back?
Yes, we're back.
All right, so what we should do for a discussion topic the next time we have nothing to talk about, we should fix movies. Fix the MCU villain problem.
But we've already done that.
Produce the Gambit movie. Not produce it. Write the screenplay.
Sell it. I don't know if I know enough about Gambit to do that.
I know the 90s X-Men. All right, so really, Gambit was like this X-Man.
God damn it. X-Con, man.
Oh, God. Well,
someone go read the Rogue and Gambit thing and figure it out.
It's by Kelly Thompson. It's a pretty good series from what I've heard. But so like with Gambit, or at least with the Disney Fox merger, it's supposed to take 18 months for everything to play out.
Yeah.
So
it makes me wonder, is this like realistically they would not get that movie done in time?
Well, it was supposed to come out next year.
Well, yeah, but if the director left again, there's no way it's like gone anywhere.
It's like the Flash movie. I think Gambit's actually winning now for the most directors left.
Probably.
Meanwhile, like, I guess I feel so bad for Channing Tatum. He's just like, I just want to be in a superhero
movie. Let me make this movie, guys. Look, Ryan Reynolds did it.
23 Jump Street's not going to come out, guys. I need this.
No, it will. They're working on a script right now, and there are potentials that it'll be a 23 Jump Street / Men in Black movie. I'm not even joking.
No, that's been the rumor for a while.
But they're actually developing the script for that. Yeah. It's not even a rumor anymore. It's they're in production on it.
Cool.
It was supposed to come out last year, according to Wikipedia.
Well, yeah, that's not that didn't happen.
Yeah, and there's a page for it on Rotten Tomatoes. I don't want whatever. What? Why? Yeah. Anyways,
it got that far in development, and then I guess it fell apart.
Yeah. All right, so we can't fix 23 Jump Street, but what we can't also fix is Amazon Strikes Death.
This was over a week ago, but we didn't talk about it, about how Amazon just canceled or ended their anime strike, which was their anime premium service, which you had to pay on top of Amazon Prime. It's like an extra $15 a month.
$5.
Oh, okay.
So $60 for the entire
year. But you also
year.
Needed to do that on top of Amazon Prime. Yeah.
So $160 to watch anime.
Yeah. And not for even one like year. It was like they didn't have a ton of exclusives, but they had some.
Like The Anonymous Noise?
Or Made in Abyss. That was the biggest one, I think, that people was just like, fuck, I want to watch this. But
Recreators?
Recreators is dope. From the first episode we watched.
But I mean, I think we had the question of like, well, what fucking happens to all these rights? Oh, well, they just moved into Amazon Prime Video now. So if you have a Prime subscription, you can just watch everything.
It's like we're closing down and just giving everything to Amazon Prime.
You just go watch it.
Like the only things that work for Amazon right now is like their subscriptions to the premium stuff. So they have like an HBO subscription, $5 a month, a Star subscription. Like those work for Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. But the fact that none of the anime they called out were big enough.
Yeah. I mean, there's some exclusives that was like, oh shit, I can finally watch that series.
The Anonymous Noise.
No.
It's so bad. It's so good.
Like, I've been watching Garden of Sinners, which I've been trying to watch that series for probably three years, but I had no way to do it.
Legally.
Yeah, legally. There was no way to watch it. And then it's like, oh shit. And then I saw on Twitter, it's like, guys, Garden of Sinners is now available on Amazon Prime. Go fucking watch this series.
Well, yeah. Like, I think one of the end of strike happened because I remember sitting at home just scrolling through the Amazon list. I'm like, oh shit, guys, this is available.
Yeah, I think
this is available.
Ended, like the day it ended, I sent it to you. Like, we can finally watch Recreators. And you went on a tangent. Like, oh shit, I can watch this. Oh, and this? And it's got this too?
Ballroom dancing anime.
The power of the necks.
The power of necks.
And the diving anime? That's not the swim anime?
Hey, diving is a different thing, man. Just because they're both in pools doesn't make them
their water physics isn't as great as I mean, what's that show called? Free?
Free. Yeah, Free. Yeah. Okay. That's what it started as, was a water demo.
Well, I mean, you got Free, and then you got Free Eternal Summer.
Yeah. No, it was so popular that they made a second season.
God, I hate anime.
Anime was a mistake.
Well, it's like, Steve and I got really excited because we watched the first episode of Recreators. We're like, oh yeah, that was great. I'm like, oh wait, I want to check out this anime that's like a rock band but You're Lying April style, and then that's all we've watched. We haven't watched any more Recreators. We're on episode 10 of The Anonymous Noise.
Maybe after we finish Anonymous Noise we can go back to it.
We're on the last two episodes. It's a love triangle, Zach. It's like Riverdale.
All I know is Gita.
I am a genius. Why do you talk in a robot voice? Everyone likes cucumbers.
What?
Like, she's just super deadpan, and she just talks like a robot.
Never forget Mushroom.
Mushroom! Sorry.
Good lord.
It's such a bad
show. Oh, so okay, but with the killing of it, it's been fascinating to watch. Like, because I follow a lot of like anime people on Twitter of like how they're like, oh shit, I might actually pick up Amazon Prime now so I could go watch all these shows because I wasn't going to fucking pay the extra money every month to just watch these certain shows.
Exactly.
So it's probably going to work out in Amazon's favor. So it's like, yeah, why the fuck did we do that? We should just had it here all along.
I would honestly buy HBO for $5 a month.
Yeah, that's, I would say that's probably worth it.
Yeah.
But not anime that aren't really exclusive, like the four anime series you have every year. Like, yeah. No, that's not worth
it. Oh, sweet. Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood's all on here.
No way.
Dude, they finally added the
Netflix. Yeah. Those bastards. I've waited so long for the fucking last chunk of it.
I was going to say, I'm like, they finally, it's like, recently added. I'm like, Brotherhood? What? It's like, oh, it goes all the way to 50 now.
I could finally watch the end of it.
15 years later. Oh, wait, no, Brotherhood was
2012.
Was it?
Or 11.
I thought it was 8.
Or 9.
It was a number. We were high school.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I'm quite content with what their decision to make.
2009.
What's funny is I actually watched, it was a fucking video I watched about like the problems with all these separate anime services of like how, and one guy was like, yeah, Amazon's anime strike is fucking dumb. Like their pricing scheme makes no goddamn sense. And then it's just like, oh, nope, it's gone now. Just go watch it.
Yeah, it's really interesting to see too.
I guarantee it was a business move of like, all right, we paid all these rates to these shows and nobody is watching them because they aren't going to pay extra too.
Yep.
All right, just let them watch.
They're like side-eyeing Verve the entire time. It's like, yep, they have Funimation and Crunchyroll.
How dare you be an affordable service for anime needs on top of other needs such as Geek & Sundry, Rooster Teeth, Verve Select with Harmon Quest,
Shudder, and Cisco. Like, stand-up comedy.
No, CISO got shut down.
CISO, okay.
All the shows that were on CISO that were exclusive live on Verve
Select.
Yeah.
So stupid. Look, I already pay my $15 a month for Rooster Teeth and steal everyone else's.
$15 a month? What the fuck do you pay? It's $20 for
15 a year.
Yeah,
sorry.
It's like $20 for 6 months.
I have 15 for the... Yeah, 15 for 6 months.
Yeah, it's something like that. 15 to 20.
I lost my grandfather. $10 a 6 months. Rest in peace.
Right.
Anyways, moving on. Do you have the next topic pulled up?
I do.
I put my phone down. Oh, it's your topic anyways. Okay.
Dude! New segment for me!
I found a team! I'm just going to rep the Gladiators. I don't know. They're the first team I saw, so I'm like, all right, you're my team.
They're cool.
The Zenyatta main is
so you're not even representing the Gladiators for the right reason? Because they're owned by Kroenke, who owns 3 out of the 5 major sports franchises in Colorado.
I am repping them because their Zenyatta main's a monster.
They also have a cool color scheme. The purple and silver.
Yeah.
Got repping the Gladiators and the Outlaws, who need to work on their fucking control maps.
Dallas needs to just figure out how to put their new team together.
All right, let me put it this way. When Zach and I were at the gym on Friday,
He had
the Overwatch on the treadmill. I'm like, okay, that's what Zach does. I look over while we're doing like machine work. He has his phone propped up against the leg machine so he can watch Overwatch.
It was a hype match. I had to see how it was going to end.
Don't get me wrong. I stopped whatever I was watching on Tuesday. I think Tuesday, maybe. The second day of the league. I stopped whatever I was watching just to watch
Thursday. Watch
the matches because I needed to watch my boys.
But yes, so this is my esports. Yeah, I'm going to try to like break this down within like 5 minutes. It's probably going to go longer, but just to quickly go over like all the matches that happened in the first week, which I think it's been more than successful for what Blizzard anticipated, because the first day had 350,000
concurrent viewers.
Well,
the first day, what Twitch deal did they strike? How much money are they getting?
2 years and Twitch is getting like 54 million or something, or maybe it was 94 million. Is anywhere from like 50 to 100 million for the 2 year deal?
I'm in the wrong business.
Yeah. But just to quickly run down. So the first day, Or I'm just going to run down the standings because that's easier, and then kind of do like talking points of what I saw. So currently at the top of the standings, you have the Los Angeles Valiant at 2-0, London Spitfire, Seoul Dynasty, and New York Excelsior, all 2-0, which I think the Valiant is the most surprising one out of all of those, because I don't think anyone expected them to be as good as they were. They were kind of like middle of the pack team as for like in terms of preseason standings, but then we didn't get to see their Genji player Agilities, who is a monster on Genji. And he's been playing with them for the first two matches, and yeah, it showed that made a huge difference for them. What was most surprising is Dallas lost both their matches, but from what I've... Because Dallas was originally the envious lineup, who played in the Korean tournament Apex for four seasons, and they won the first season and then got knocked out in the quarterfinals of the second season, and then placed fourth in both the third and fourth seasons, or just the third season. They didn't play in the fourth. And they've always kind of had a slow start. And now that they've added these new like kind of not necessarily I mean, they're good players like Seagull and XQC, but they're also kind of hothead's not the right word, but like they're thought of as like star players that want the team to kind of revolve around them.
You're a fly boy. You think you can solve all your problems by getting an X-Wing and blowing stuff up.
No, not that way.
Okay.
So everybody's like freaking out like, oh, Dallas is 0-2. They lost the two matches. It's like, all right. Well, first off, it's the first fucking week. Secondly, they're trying to figure out what to do with these new players, because they were playing some weird compositions that I've never seen before. Like Taimu, one of their best players, didn't play Widowmaker once, which is his most iconic hero to play. So it's like, all right, I think they're just still trying to figure out what chemistry is going to work the best for this lineup. And then I think by the end of the season, or at least like the first stage, we'll actually see them like figure out what to do. And they'll actually be able to like take matches off some of the top, like some of the Korean teams.
Yeah, man. It's just like how today the Bournemouth Cherries beat Arsenal in their first game fucking beat all the Steelers. Season. This is their first game they have won all season. The Cherries are finally out of the relegation zone because the other teams at the bottom have all lost every single game.
Yeah. Also, a big surprise was the Philadelphia Fusion. They won one of their first match and then lost the second one to New York. Yes, I think that's who they played the second match. But I mean, they looked way better than anyone expected. And then like when now that people actually got to see them play, it's like, oh yeah, they actually have a really good. They have an amazing DPS duo of Carpe and Shadowburn, who've been playing together for like a year. And the rest of their team is also really solid. It's like, they actually might be like, they're probably going to be playoff contenders.
First week into the season.
I mean, maybe, they look way better than anyone expected. So if they just get better as the season goes on, they'll be even more terrifying. The New York Excel, good fucking lord. I think they actually might win this season. Like, because they have, one, they don't have Flower yet, who is supposed to be a godly DPS player. And the maps that we saw Pine in, which is one of their hit scan players, good fucking Christ. He literally 1v6'd on a round.
That's awesome.
Like, it was he was on McCree. He had a Mercy backing him up, but they were about to lose the point, and Philly was going to recapture the point, probably win that round. And then he literally kills all six of them
Was that the game you were watching at the gym?
No, this was on Saturday.
Okay.
But it's just like, they've literally only used Pine in the control maps. And he's literally only played on two maps. And he literally made the map last like 10 minutes because he's so fucking good. Like, he is incredible. It's scary.
It's really exciting to see how passionate you're about this.
It's really fun. It's really fun to watch. Like, it's gotten way more viewers than I thought it would. The production value is top notch.
I think the first match had 360,000 viewers.
350,000 by the end with Seoul and Dallas, because they were the most hyped one.
Also, we can't forget the fact that they are now sponsored by fucking Ford.
Or Toyota.
Toyota, that's
Toyota,
right.
Intel.
And HP, Omen. HP. Yeah, because first day it was like, this brought to you by Intel and Omen by HP. Second day, this match brought to you by Toyota. I can't. Like, I'm sorry, what?
What?
I can't wait to get like my Toyota Camry that just has a Tracer decal on the side.
New just from like Toyota, the Overwatch League car.
Just like how Call of Duty has the Jeep.
Yeah.
Oh, can I get a Reinhardt Toyota? Push a button, a shield pops up.
Why?
Hit a turbo boost so you launch forward.
It's the GTA cars.
But yeah, it was cool. There was even like on Twitter they were recapping, like showing all the different watch parties. Like Houston had a big one.
Well, there were actual bars where.
Yeah, Philly had a huge one.
Yeah.
All right, so next week we need to go into Buffalo Wild Wings on Wednesday on Wings Day. Oh, say, I'm sorry, could you put the Overwatch League on?
It's on like, twitch.tv.
Could you change it to twitch.tv? Or if you have a smart TV, I can just cast to it?
Sure.
Then what? Everyone crowds around that area and be like, oh, fucking Overwatch League!
Oh, Zenyatta main!
It's all about the Zenyattas. I'm super hyped that it did as well as it did. Like, I thought like maybe if they get 50,000 viewers concurrently on like...
So do you think this is a contender for the league series?
It might be. Like I'll be curious of how many viewers they get next week, because I think that's actually going to be some even hyper matches, because near the end of the week it was just like, okay, clearly this match is lopsided.
I mean, the Gladiators got shut out by Dynasty.
Yeah, Dynasty is
sorry
still...
Dynasty.
No.
I have to say it like our friends wrong across the pond.
He's wrong. It's Dynasty.
It's all English people and Australian people. Dynasties do not exist. Dynasties do.
I think like going it like, because it's separated on the four stages. So I'm going to week five. So that'll be
nerd.
It'll be interesting to see like how that goes. Yeah, I just deflected that off.
Zach's gonna come back with like an exclusive shirt, and it's like one of those little hats with the little spinner on top.
He's going to come back with like a little squeaky Reinhardt hammer.
He has a finger. It's two fingers up, one for each of the mouse buttons. And then the other hand
told,
is
you
the
told
three.
Me I need to make a sign so I can get it on the Twitch stream.
Yeah, Z2 Podcast.
Z2 Podcast sucks.
So what we need by the time Zach goes to the match is we need Rachel to finish the new logo, get that on a poster, and just have Zach run by weeks. Like...
Should just run across.
Is this the Today Show?
Hoda, it's me! Hoda!
I mean, the Blizzard Arena is in the old Tonight's Show studio.
Okay.
So.
Where's Dave Letterman? Did you see he has a stand-up special?
He has a new show.
Really?
Yeah, he interviewed Obama.
Oh.
In his first episode.
He has a mighty beard right now.
He does. Mm-hmm. He has the I'm retired, I don't give a fuck beard.
Yeah,
but yeah. Just to wrap up that my esports segment then is, yep, Seoul looks as good as they are. Excelsior, yep, pretty fucking good. I can't wait for the Seoul and Excelsior match. Like that one's gonna be hype-ish as all fuck.
Houston, get your shit together.
Houston needs to get their shit together. Dallas needs to figure out what to use with what to do with their actual roster now that they have all these new players.
Gladiators, I expect more out of you. You did so great the first match.
Yeah, I think it'll be all right. Valiant, I'll be curious to see if they keep up their good streak so far. Like, granted, they haven't had the hardest of matches so far, but it'll be interesting to see like how they do continue on.
Well, I will be the first to say I didn't have much stake or really care about the Overwatch League, but I watched a match. I was like, yeah, whatever, I'll watch a match. Like, I love this.
It's so fun to just like watch like the strategies that teams come up with, like. Even in like the Dallas and Seoul match, like that one fucking went to 8-4 rounds on the two capture point.
God.
It's just like, holy fuck, this is insane. How are they both? How can they not hold this map?
Just need to hurry up and make a Denver team and then have matches at other states, i.e. Pepsi Center.
That's their goal. That is their goal long term.
Cough, cough. Come on, Blizzard. I'm giving you solid ideas here. Make a Denver team and you got the Pepsi Center waiting for you.
Yeah. I mean, it was super cool. I'm not sure how much the casual viewer is going to stick around with it because it is still a little hard to watch unless you know what's going on with the game.
There's a lot happening, but when like hype moments happen, like
you know why it's hype.
The one you came home to, I can't remember who that match was, but like they were getting their ass handed to him, and then just had a string of widow kills that I was freaking out about.
Yeah, that's the fun, the coolest part is hearing the crowd go, "Oh, like, oh, oh, shit, oh, no, oh, like, oh my god, oh man!" I just want to, I'm gonna show you guys the Pine clip when we're done here, just because even his reaction, he gets so hyped up after it.
I can't
so
cool. wait for Flower to join his team that and team have is going to and be have bonkers. His fangirls with him.
That team Headshot. Is going to, a team is going to be bonkers.
It was really interesting. Like, it was almost a little nauseating to watch some of them play. Like watching a Tracer speed around the map. Yeah. I'm like, oh my god, why? Mm-hmm. Or Lucio on Ilios booping people. Yeah. I'm like, this is insane.
And boops, I'm so glad
the boop god.
I am glad that is an actual that sports casting term now. That is the term. Like, oh, he got a boop. Oh, he got another boop.
Boops for the boop god.
It's like, I remember when that was something my mom saved me when I was 3 or 4.
Boop.
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Recommendations?
Are we not? Did you not see the last point?
No, I didn't. What was the last point? Oh, the thing. Runaways.
Now that the full season is out.
They ran away.
Finally.
Hooray. I gotta say, I do like this interpretation of the team. Like, there is some, like, unnecessary drama. But it's like, oh, God. They're gonna get in a fight over this. I know it. Oh, God. Oh, why? But, I mean, overall, the show's really... It's really tight, and it's handled really well, I feel like.
The one thing that bugs me is how they're kind of amplifying some of the characters' characteristics, I guess. Like, Gert, yes, in the comics, oh my God. Is very much a feminist. She's all about women's power.
She was almost insufferable.
But through this, it's like...
Some lines were super cringy.
She is like the definition of what people used to call a feminazi.
Just like, oh god, that's so cringy. Like,
again, I'm all for feminism, women's power, all that, but you don't have to take the character to an extreme.
Turn the knob down a little bit, please.
Like, where every comment had to go back to the patriarchy and tearing the establishment down. Okay, it's like, I get it. That's the character.
In the writing's defense, I felt like that was like to show that's her defense mechanism.
Right, but
when she gets flustered.
But it just seemed like they took it to an extreme.
I would agree. In some situations,
they could have toned it down a little bit.
And plus, it ruined her whole thing with Chase. He's just like, yeah, it was just a one-time thing, right? And Chase is like, yeah, just a one.
Can we figure this out later before, you know, our parents come
to Props to Nico for trying to hook them up again.
Yeah.
Wingman Nico. Wingwoman Nico. And then,
shout out to them making Nico bisexual, probably.
Yeah, well, she's been that way for a while in the comics.
Right, but this time they're more kind of...
overt with it,
Like, in the original, like, Brian K. Vaughan run, it was just straight up her and Alex until the betrayal, and then it was kind of stagnant from there. But this one, they're just like, yeah, no, she's full-on bisexual, and she realizes it.
And have you read the latest issue?
Which one?
5.
With Grandma?
Yeah.
Where they first meet Grandma?
No, the next one after that.
Victor's Head?
Yeah.
Coming Alive?
No, that was after that. That was also four.
Okay. Then
where they try to go fight Grandma.
Then no.
Okay. Well, there's a scene between Nico and Carolina. Yeah. And Nico tries to kiss her, and then Carolina freaks out. It's like, no, I have a girlfriend. You always tried to do this. And then Chase busts in wearing Victor across his chest in a baby carrier, kind of. And it's like, we gotta go. Gert's in trouble. I'm like, great.
Yeah, but, I mean, as a show, I thought it was decent. I wasn't blown away, though.
Yeah.
I was just like, okay, yeah.
Look, for trashy drama TV that Steve and I like watching, this was great.
It wasn't super melodramatic. At least some parts made a little bit of sense. Except the whole, like, Amy thing of, like, all right, so why the fuck was she hacking Wizard other than just trying to find secrets?
Well,
to prove she could.
Prove she could, and she says she wanted dirt on her parents. Nothing else. She just wanted to draw on her parents and then stumbled upon
Jonah.
The pride stuff.
It was interesting how they used that character of Amy to create all that tension and everything else. Like, she was a really interesting addition. But my favorite addition to the series as a whole is the fact that all of the parents have real motivations.
I'll be curious, especially like after this last like 5 minutes where it seems like they just flipped all that. It's like, oh, we got to go find them. And then it's just like, this is going to change everything.
Well, that was on purpose.
Yeah.
Because so, right. Jeff Wilder made the phone call to the police to say, here's the Amber Alert. These kids were involved in the murder of Destiny. Get it? It was their destiny to run away. I was going to say
that's why they have their detective in their pocket.
That's true.
Leading the investigation.
He probably could have fabricated with him of like, hey, our kids are on the run.
And it's also,
this is what I want you to tell everyone.
It's also someone who could easily make the whole situation go away once the kids are apprehended.
Mm-hmm.
Of like, once they're like, oh, no, our bad, mistake, throw it away.
But knowing their children, they're going to be constantly on the run behind the building from It's Always Sunny.
Yeah. In the shantytown.
Yeah, but it's...
with a dinosaur.
It's a goddamn shantytown. Yeah.
So they're off running away. It prevents Jonah from finding them. Unless there's a mole on the team. Because the subreddit all thinks it's going to be Carolina because she wants to figure out why she's an alien or something along the lines.
I don't know if she'd get
it. She's probably a mutant. No, she's probably an alien.
It's still unconfirmed if Molly's mutant or if it was those rocks.
She's enhanced. Because this is canon to the MCU, remember.
What if they just hold off on calling her enhanced or a mutant until they get the deal finalized?
What's her deal? She's strong.
That's what I was thinking is like they're... going to hold off, and then they're going to say, like, the rocks awakened her mutant gene.
My theory is the explosion, which, like, triggered a defense mechanism within her that, like, made her resistant to it.
Yeah, that's fair.
I do like that they're trying to make the Gaborim demon work. So there's something alive down there. It's like, oh, you mean a being of eternal hellfire?
The Gaborim.
So don't explain why they want to bring the Hell Demon on.
They don't. Jonah does.
Well, yeah, they haven't explained why he wants to do it.
Because he's Jonah.
They'll explain when they actually find the demon.
Probably.
There'll be like a slow clap walking like, you found it all.
Also, we monologue. Still don't know what happened to Victor Stein.
His body's chilling. They're going to bring him back.
He's on ice.
He's still in the cocoon.
He's on ice. I don't know if it matters.
How they're going to bring him back with a sacrifice since the other...
That fucking episode, though, where it's just like, all right, is somebody going to die here? We don't fucking know anymore.
The entire hour, who's going to die?
I'll die.
It's like, no, I'll die. No, you won't. Destroys the pod that could save Victor Stein's life.
It's freaking Jonah walks in and like, I'm ashamed you didn't call me first.
In the same vein, it's like... if they could have just put his body on ice, why not tell them that at the beginning of all of this?
I don't know.
But it's interesting to see the kids run away.
It's definitely not a perfect show, but it's
yeah,
it's a decent show, I would say.
It does make me wonder, like, now that they've officially ran away, you know, they named themselves the Runaway.
It did get officially renewed for season 2.
Yep, 13-episode season.
We finally got Old Lace's name.
But how...
The Old Lace to my arsenic, like, close enough.
Sure, we'll take it.
Like, how are they gonna... Because I know there's the whole Bounty Hunter arc. I'm on that in the trades right now. Like, Wolverine chases after them, Cloak and Dagger.
Yeah.
And has the Cloak and Dagger show come out yet?
Nope.
There was a trailer a while ago.
Yeah.
That seemed very ABC Family.
No, the Secret Life of Mutants.
It's Freeform. Brought to you by ABC Family.
The Secret Life of Mutants. Of the American Mutants.
Yes.
There we go. But really, I'm kind of mad that they made Cloak and Dagger its own show because they could have been great supporting characters for Spider-Man. Like, the third Spider-Man film could have been Spider-Man and his amazing friends. Mm-hmm. And it could have been, like, Spider-Man, Cloak and Dagger, bring out Miles, Gwen, Bombshell, why not, Gold Balls.
Kamala, sure.
We're actually Secret Warriors. We're not his amazing friends.
Close.
We helped you, Spider-Man. We're going to go be champions.
Tony Stark comes at the end to recruit them for the Young Avengers initiative, and Kate's just standing there with her bow talking to America. Boom! Marvel, sign us. You can deliver the check to Z2 Podcast.
Cloak and Dagger will be consisting of 10 episodes and will premiere in 2018. No actual...
So sometime soon.
Sometime this year.
And it seems like they're not committed. It's like, all right, 10 episodes. If it does well, we'll renew it. Or like how most shows are like, all right, this is great. Add 3 more episodes to their season. Oh shit, we have 3 more episodes. What the fuck are we supposed to do?
What do we do now?
Wait. Let's pull the season finale back. We'll cycle back around to it.
Felicity and Ollie. Felicity hijacks the wedding and they all get married together. Bitch, really? God, that was the worst part of Earth X.
I'm sorry. That part was fucking beautiful.
She hijacked a wedding. It was Barry and Iris's wedding, and she's like, hold on.
Are you forgetting the whole scene where Iris tried to talk Felicity into getting back together with Ollie?
But not during their wedding!
They decided not to have the whole ceremony. They just got in diggle because they didn't want the whole ceremony. So what are they hijacking? Nothing! They saved time! They could have had one wedding and they'd be like, alright, wait 5 minutes. Alright, let's get married too. Or, because they're such good bros and bras, they got married at the same time.
Let's be real. In a
beautiful ceremony with John Diggle.
Why the fuck was Felicity Iris' maid of honor?
Because
they
never
interacted.
They interacted multiple times!
They're terrible. Her maid of honor should have been Caitlyn.
How much time have they interacted with each other?
All the time.
Bullshit! Outside of Flash business, they have not interacted once except for the Bachelorette party.
Steve's in his voice.
Oh my god.
Have fun editing that
I'm
part.
I'm going to have to listen to this part to see how bad it is.
Christ.
Oh my god.
Beautiful ceremony.
It's one way to end
it. I don't know, man. Felicity was just insufferable for season four.
You're insufferable!
I am! We know this!
Yes, Felicity was kind of a jerk.
Insufferable.
I'm going to go two things by myself, because I'm a vigilante. No, you're not. That's cute that you're trying, but you've made everything worse.
Okay.
Felicity is in season one.
We done there.
Yeah. Birth X was great. Shout out to the Ray. CW show coming soon on CW Seed.
Yes.
It's already out on CW Seed, I think.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Recommendations?
Sure. Mr. Miracle 6. Fucking great.
It was great.
Keeping the train rolling. Halfway through it.
It's the mid-season finale. It's taking a break for a month.
And Darkseid still is. He does not do not. Or what was it? Fuck, I can't even remember the phrasing.
Darkseid does not.
Darkseid is.
That was a really like...
Or it was like Darkseid does not do... Darkseid is.
That was a really crazy closer because it's like, I saw the face of God. I'm like, but you are gods. Because the first world, so like,
I did my favorite
someone
part,
explained this to me, was that the original gods were the original gods. The second world is the Norse gods. The third world is the gods of the humans, like Shazam's pantheon of all the gods.
Yeah.
And the fourth world is Jack Kirby's gods.
Yes, the new gods.
Yeah. But I'm just sitting here. So someone finally explained that to me. I'm like, huh.
I mean, even Tom King explains it with the two guards talking of...
I am
so we're
theology.
The fourth world. But what is... That means there were three others before. It's like, no, that's not how this works. But my favorite part of the whole issue is just that... Scott and Bart are just going on this rampage to
just
reach
the
a
most
ride.
Mundane conversation.
And just talking about remodeling their condo. And then at the end, Bart is like, I'm pregnant. And then Scott's just all happy with his shocked face at first. It just pans for two panels of him shocked. And then at the end, he's just like, I love you. It's like, doll. And then Darkseid is.
It makes me wonder.
Darkseid is his baby.
Yes. It's really cool to see because in the Wonder Woman comic, Darkseid is back to full strength fighting Zeus right now. I'm behind one issue. But, like, it makes me wonder because the way they framed it, like, you know, Scott eventually takes off his mask, but it looks like he's sitting on the same throne that Darkseid was in that brief little snippet scene.
Mm-hmm.
And fuck that ad for, like, being in between the two-page closer.
Just rip that page out.
But then I'm losing the other page. But it makes me wonder because the opening thing from Mr. Miracle number one is him interviewing G. Gordon Godfrey talking about, it's like, but did you really escape death? And I'm like, ah, shit, Scott is the anti-life equation, isn't he? That's why he's in this kind of coma thing. What if Barda really isn't pregnant? Oh, God.
Just have to wait to find out.
I know.
It's on the rest of season one.
I mean, there was that whole running thing of like, your eyes are blue. No, they've always been brown. Just like, what the fuck is real anymore in this series?
Yeah, Tom King does just such a great job.
He loves his 9-panel structure.
Well, that's the point of this entire series. Like, none of his other things are like that, but it's a 9-panel structure. It's a focus grid that, if you look at it...
It's all one picture. Well, each line is its own.
Well, no, it's a prison that Scott Free is trapped in.
Yeah.
Each of the borders outside of the bar of the panels is the thing he cannot escape.
Right.
So, but I'm just sitting here. I'm like, such a well-crafted shit. Series. What the fuck is he gonna do after this? Like, I've been enjoying his Batman more and more, but like, what are you gonna do next? Like, other than your Sanctuary?
Yeah.
Like, what other mini series are you gonna give me? Are you gonna give me Booster Gold and turn him all nihilistic? Yeah. Please don't. He deserves to be happy.
Just like Bruce does.
Yeah. Especially like in Action Comics right now, Bruce is Booster is like, I'm a fugitive from this time. We need to leave. And I'm like, oh yeah, you're back in the... Booster and Eobard Thawne are from the same century. They're both from the 25th century.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they ever met?
Because no, because Booster stole the costume because he was just working as a janitor.
Yeah, but Booster was like the janitor of the Gotham Batman Museum, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And then Eobard was the curator at the Flash Museum. Mm-hmm. Do you ever think they have like mixer nights where they just kind of talk to each other? It's like,
I don't know.
Vigilante mixer nights.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I don't know. That's all I know. All I know is Darkseid is. In the same vein, this week, I finally got around to reading it, but Batman and the Signal came out, which is really interesting because it's very, because Duke is now on his own. But he has the supporting cast from We Are Robin. I'm really happy to see them back because I thought they were going to be dead forever. Just like Batroc the Leaper and Gwenpool. Oh. That was really heartbreaking.
That whole page you sent us. Just like, oh, Gwenpool, no, too real. Too real.
I'll talk about that later because I've been enjoying this with Gwenpool. But like seeing Duke kind of come into his own, have his own like supporting cast come in and help him. Not necessarily Bruce is helping him. But he's like, I'm the Signal. I can see light waves. Well, he doesn't have a name yet, but he's like, I can see light waves. And then there's like, his enemy is the polar opposite of him, like creating darkness and trying to see, it's like, what's even happening? What's happening in this rehab facility for teens? And just see Duke kind of be, I've always liked Duke as a character too. Like he became Lark in the Endgame nightmare that Bruce has. Then he was Robin and Tomasi's Future's End crossover issue for Batman and Robin. So it's kind of cool to see him actually develop his own persona. While most of the Bat family is like, why is he even here? He's not even a Robin. He's not even this. And for the first time ever, Barbara and Cass were in the same room.
Yes.
That was great. I was so excited. They didn't speak to each other, but they were in the same room.
All of them were there. Batwoman was there.
Batwing.
Jason.
Jason's always at the house. But I really enjoy it, and I really enjoy how Duke... And I, to be honest, the way limited series work, if they say this is 6 issues, I'm like, sweet, I'm going to buy it. Because I'm not committing to a full-length run. So since this is a 3-issue maxi series, I'm like, perfect, I'm going to read this. Or mini series. Mm-hmm. But Gwenpool is breaking my heart right now. I never realized how much I would enjoy
Gwenpool.
It. I'm not, but because of Reddit, I'm like, I feel like I'm reading the entire comic. And this latest arc is her realizing that she is being canceled. Like she has the because she's from our world. She's Gwenpool with an E at the end. And she's running around. She's teamed up with Batroc the Leaper. And the fact that she's like, huh, the guards didn't even find me. It's like, Gwen's like, yeah, it's because I got all the BAMs. And she's holding the word bubbles. And she's looking at the page counts like, oh no, the issue's almost over. But she's like having this heart to heart with Batroc. It's like, I'm gonna miss you because this interpretation of you will only exist in this comic and no one will ever see you again. Like, in the way writer, I see you,
whatever writer gets you next is gonna turn you back into the bumbling Batroc. And
it's just like, oh, I love the fact that it's just so meta. Like, I love Deadpool and all to a degree. But the fact that this character has gone beyond the meta of Deadpool to be its own thing, breaking walls, is incredible. Also, in this week's Despicable Deadpool, Deadpool finds Steve-El. And Steve-El wakes up in his room and just he's watching Deadpool pour acid into his toilet. And it's like, I thought about giving you this. See, this is like a poison that would have melted your face off, nose, ears, and all. But I thought that was too nice. So I'm just leaving you here to think all by yourself, because if no one knows you're even here, I could kill you at any point and no one would ever notice. And then he just closes the door and locks it behind him. I'm like, ooh, someone's still bitter from Secret Empire. It just sucks that everyone's now turned against Deadpool. Like, he's hardcore anti-hero, anti-villain again, just because everyone sees him as betraying the Avengers and everyone else. It's like, no, I was following Steve Rogers. Why doesn't anyone understand that? It's great. Anyways, Steve?
I didn't read anything this week.
You could talk about the anonymous noise.
No, anonymous. We don't need to talk about it for 20 more minutes.
Well, anonymous noise, great show. It's okay. Okay. I'm not going to say it's great.
Yeah, I don't. I'm going to have to stop you.
It's an okay show. It's stupid. I know it's stupid, but I love it. I love the characters. Because, again, they're just stupid.
They're overly melodramatic.
It's not going to be, like, the most groundbreaking, dramatic, heart-wrenching.
It's no Your Lie in April.
It's discount Your Lie in April. And you know what? If you want something stupid that has the same two songs just in different arrangements, watch it. It's a fun, stupid show that actually I care about the characters now. But it's not great. Don't go in expecting the best anime of your life.
If you want some like soap opera level melodrama.
Exactly. It's a love triangle and Yuzu, one of the characters, is like friend zoning himself. It's like, yeah, you should totally date Momo, even though he's a bastard.
It's an anime soap opera.
The best thing from the last episode is that Momo texts Yuzu saying, "In no hurry sucks ass."
Yeah, just like, I don't know, he's like having this deep stare, like out into space, grabs his phone, texts something, goes to Yuzu, like, what? Could they be making up? "In no hurry sucks ass." Like, oh, okay.
Great.
Love you too, Momo.
Yeah.
All right. That's all it is. It's a soap opera with a little bit of music and anime.
They only play like 3 songs.
Yeah, every time I like hear it from downstairs, I'm like, they're playing the same fucking song again.
Well, 2 songs in Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
Yeah.
So 2 songs in a nursery
because
rhyme.
They have to prepare themselves for Rock Horizon, the biggest music festival in Japan. And they're teaching.
It's no K-On, though.
It's no Chaos. Or Sound Euphonium. Or Kids on the Slope. Or Your Lie in April.
It's like Riverdale. It has no purpose being good. But
except
it is.
It's not actually good for the reasons of being good.
It's pretty darn okay.
Just because you gave up after the first episode.
It just sounded ridiculous. I'm like, I don't, I'm good.
This is coming from the guy who hasn't even watched Your Lie in April. No.
You don't even know.
Don't even know the heartbreak.
You don't even know.
See, the thing you gotta do is Kids on the Slope, good happy ending. Your Lie in April, you're gonna cry every episode. Unohana after.
Anohana.
Anohana?
Yes.
No, Unohana.
Where the fuck did you get this? They
play Uno and ruin friendships.
She's the character in Bleach.
That's Urahara.
No, the meta character.
The Squad 3 captain, that's Unohana.
Oh. There was also an Urahara.
The true Kenpachi.
Fake nerd. All right,
it's like you never watched Bleach.
I'll wrap this up.
Thank you guys for listening. We've had an episode. thank you guys for watching. And if you enjoy us, they can watch the time bar. Did iTunes finally give up on those like enhanced podcasts where they show like the image as they're talking about it?
I don't know. I'd never done anything like that for it.
Okay. Well,
let's
thank
do
you guys.
It. 2018, the year of enhanced podcast.
It's terrible. There's no purpose if you have no internet. if you like us, go tell a friend and then have that friend tell a friend. And then we'll all start a pyramid scheme where we all watch and listen us do things.
Don't tell them about the pyramid scheme yet.
Well, they're not buying anything. They're just listening to us. Is pyramid schemes illegal?
Pyramid schemes are illegal.
Yes, they are.
What's the word to rope around it? It's not a pyramid scheme. This is like an investment opportunity. So you can invest your time and your friends' time into listening to us at work.
The payout might not be great.
But you'll have a good laugh with us.
You get paid if we get money from your friends. That's essentially how they work. The more signups you get, the more money you get. So you sign up your friends who then get screwed because then they have all this useless shit.
See, that's a pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
See, that was the one meeting we went to, and then I was on crutches, so I couldn't leave. And it was icy out. I'm like, I need to leave. And it's like, why? We're just starting talking about this here's the mixer. Have some drinks. I'm underage and I'm on crutches. Let me leave. But like I said, if you like listening to us, hit us up on iTunes, hit us up on Google Play or SoundCloud. Leave us a comment, leave us a rating, because all of that helps us get more outreach to other people. You can share us on Facebook or Twitter when we post new episodes, and that'll help us also get some more attention. And we only serve to make this show better for you, the audience. Because without you, we would only listen to each other.
And yell at each other
occasionally. Which we normally do at the house anyways. So thank you guys for listening. And as always, we love you, Internet.
Bye-bye.